Jesus Christ down from heaven's glory to be born of a virgin, to die on that cross some 33 years later, shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. We just praise you for that wonderful work that he did and that continues to save even today, some thousands of years later. Lord, we thank you for that. Just pray, Lord, you give me the words to teach. Open up our eyes. Help us to see the things you'd have us to see. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. If you would, turn to the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 13. And we've got the beast came out of the water. And we'll start in chapter 13, verse 1. I guess before I do, I'll tell you a story. So down in Naples, Florida, a friend of mine that asked me to teach on Revelation in a week and asked me to have handouts, therefore I wrote a 200-page book. He called me the other day. He said his son-in-law graduated from a college out west, and he had some questions on the pre-tribulation rapture. And so I gave him an hour and 10 minutes, and I went through most of Matthew 24, some of 25, Luke, Revelation, Daniel, and boy, it was fun. It was fun to do that because, you know, and the thing is, you can get a college degree, you can go to seminary, and they don't really teach you the Bible. The only way you learn, like I've learned, is you put in the time and the prayer, and you say, God, I'm not going to stop until I get the answers. And then what he does, I believe, is he looks and says, hey, you want the answers? You want the answers? I'll give you the answers. And he I believe that's what he did with me. He gave me the answers. You know, and that's why I like to do the question and answer. Oh, by the way, we will not have question and answer this Sunday because Vlad will be here. So Sunday school, if it wasn't announced, which I'm sure I told you, will be in here. We're going to do it the second week, sorry. But we can eat chicken in here, Hollett. Or mystery meat. You should have seen his face. It was just aghast. How could we not have an eaten meat? But we may do it the third week. We'll see. After this week, we'll determine it. But anyway, it was just fun to be able to do that. I wish more of the colleges would spend the time, and I'm looking for chapter 13. The problem with my Bible is I have so many markings in it, I can't find where the chapter starts. So it was just good to be able to do that. I like spending that time. Verse, I was looking for, my problem is I can't find, so in my Bible, this is chapter 13 right here. And see, it's so jammed in there. So I'm looking down, I see 12, and I go to the next page. I go, well, that's verse 3. So I keep going back and forth, and I realize that it's down here. I'm going to find a way to maybe mark them in squares so I can find the beginning of a chapter. And that's not a lot of notes on that page. It's just jammed in there. Here we are in verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. So that's the description, and that's why you have... This thing is not wanting to change. That's why you have the picture up there where it's a leopard, teeth of a lion, and then 7 heads. So I just did 3 in the front, 3 in the back, and then the 1 in the middle. So that's the back. And then it goes on in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So think about the dragon, the red dragon I've shown you, kicked out of heaven in chapter 12. He comes to earth, the beast comes out of the water, and the dragon gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. And that's why you might think, well, it sounds like the two witnesses are gone. The 144,000 are gone. Who's able to make war with them? Well, they could. But that's why you've got to look at it and say, well, you know, this is the second half. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So that's half of Daniel's 70th week. So again, that's probably the second half, and the first half you have to have the two witnesses here, because who can make war with him? Nobody can. That's the answer. It's a rhetorical question. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So the blasphemy against God, if you read Leviticus chapter 24, it talks about the punishment that's meted out for those who blaspheme the name of God. And then 1 Corinthians 12:3 says this, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So when you're looking at the Bible, you're a believer. You don't blaspheme. And there's other ways. I know people go TGIF, you know, thank God it's Friday. That's using the Lord's name in vain. Now, does the world technically mean to blaspheme? No, but it is blasphemy. Oh my God. You know, if you do that, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's empty. No use for it. You know, oh my gosh. And you know, people start now really getting technical. They go, oh, you're just changing a word and you're blaspheming God. I hate to tell them, look, oh my gosh is not blasphemy against God. However, it is a replacement. OMG. I argued with somebody one time. He says, oh man, they got OMG. It's blasphemy. He just started, and I said, oh, come on. No, it's not. And he started railing on me. I said, what's wrong with oh my gosh? Oh no, that means oh my God. And I went, you know, how do you know? Just, you know, in other words, we split hairs, we divide, we don't try to understand that. Listen, if somebody says that, you don't go and rebuke them. You try to help them if you can, if they want to listen. But don't go off and go, well, if you see TGIF, you know, thank goodness it's Friday. You say, well, no, it means God. Well, no, it means goodness to the person that just said it that way. So, again, I always try to caution you to make sure you're not one of these lunatics that all of us may have been in the past. We don't need to be anymore. We need to look at things and say, let's be kind. Let's love one another. Let's be understanding. Let's speak the truth in love. And can you imagine? That's in the Bible. But people don't put that first. It's first in my life. My life now is speak the truth in love. I didn't always live that out. I don't always live it out now. But I do want to. When you look at the temple and it talks about, it said in the tabernacle, you know what the tabernacle is today. In today's world, you're the tabernacle of God. How do you know? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you know, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, so what is he? Where's the tabernacle? It's our body. So, again, are believers going to be here, believers of us today? Yes, there'll be believers that are believing after we're gone. But the believers are going to be raptured out. Therefore, there is no tabernacle of God on earth. But he's going to blaspheme against the literal tabernacle of God. 2 Corinthians 5:4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened that we should be unclothed, clothed upon mortality, might be swallowed up in life. So again, the tabernacle today, the temple of God today, is your body if you're saved. Therefore, you ought to watch out what you do with your temple. And that's the warning. But there's going to be a literal temple in Jerusalem in Daniel's 70th week. There was a temple up until 70 AD and it was destroyed. And Matthew 24 talks about that. That's one of the things that I delved into with this young man. I said, replacement theologians, you know, whatever they want to call them, they believe that everything was fulfilled in the first century because of Matthew 24. He came out, he said, look, they said, look at the temple, look at the buildings. He says, all that's going to be destroyed, not one stone upon another. Verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? And then he goes through and talks about Daniel's 70th week. But he's continuing the conversation of chapter 23, not talking about the temple anymore. The temple was a distraction. Now look at verse, them that dwell in heaven, it talks about that. The beast hates everything related to God, but this may be specifically directed toward the 144,000 that in chapter 14 you will see there in heaven. Chapter 7, the 144,000 on this earth. So what has to happen? A rapture of the 144,000. A rapture of the two witnesses. We saw them caught up into the cloud, right? So when people say, well, there's, you know, I believe in the pre-trib rapture, yes, for believers during the church age. Is there a rapture in Daniel's 70th week? Sure, we know the two witnesses, the 144,000, end up in heaven. Revelation 13, 7, if you'll look there. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, stop there a second. Who are the saints? They're the ones that have believed on the Lord during Daniel's 70th week. All the saints, you're a saint, you're a saint. Now, I don't really mean it literally. No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have pointed at you. I should have pointed at somebody that like, Hollett's a saint. Well, then I was going to say not literally. Everybody in here that's saved is a saint. Oh, the Catholic Church has to determine if you're a saint. No, they don't. You're a saint the moment you get saved, according to the Bible definition of a saint. So, who's he making war with? Believers that have believed on the Lord and been saved by the blood, Revelation 12, 11, after the rapture of all believers. Then you have no believers on earth. The 7 years starts, and people start believing, trusting the Lord. Those that endure to the end, they'll make it through the whole 7 years, and they'll go into the millennium. These are the saints he's talking about. They haven't been caught. They certainly haven't taken the mark because they wouldn't be a saint. Only believers are saints. So he makes war with the saints to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. That's why you got to be careful. Everybody says, oh, well, I spoke in tongues. First of all, tongues is always a language in the Bible. Secondly, this stuff that's going on today is simply preparing the world for a time when somebody shows up on the scene and has power over all those tongues. The world's being set up. So you say, are we in the tribulation? No, we're not in the tribulation. But are things happening to set the world up for it? Sure, COVID was a setup. Do you think that in America, you'd ever see a day when all the churches are shut down by the government? We just did. Who'd have thunk that? That's good English in Lower Alabama. You know, who'd have thought that would happen? I didn't think that would happen. So when I saw it, you know, we shut down here for, you know, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. Governor says we are essential. People are asking me if they can come back. And I'm like, well, if I let you come back, I got to let everybody come back. And then we're not really being the right type of citizens. You know, I'm going against what they are telling us. It's going to kill everybody. It's all a lie. I mean, to some degree, yes, there's a disease. Yes, it was very contagious. And yes, a lot of people died from it. But we didn't lose 3.5 million. You know, or I don't know how many millions they were talking about. 3.5 million? 35 million, something like that. And the thing is, what I did, I actually watched you on your cruises. I was watching the cruise. The cruise ship, the first one, statistically, those people were older, more susceptible, and they didn't all die. What's that tell you? That they blew the situation out of proportion right away. And I knew that early on after we had shut down. The governor says that, and I go, hey, we're opening up. I called the police department. I didn't have the relationship I have with them now. I wasn't a chaplain with them. I called them and said, we're opening up. And they said, oh, we can't stop you. I said, no. I'm just telling you so you understand that's what we're going to do. If you see cars in the parking lot, we're opening our church back up. And I said to you, stay home lest God lead you otherwise. Why? It's your decision, not mine. And everybody has to make that decision for themselves. Now, I'm telling you this, if you can be here and don't watch that on television. I need bodies in the pews. Plus, how do you give if you're not here? Oh, I mean give spiritually. Sorry. You probably thought money. Just kidding. Lord is taking care of us in very good ways. So all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Look at verse 8, 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth. I'm sorry, I don't know. Oh no, I was going to go to Daniel 7, but I'm going to skip that. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all that dwell upon the earth. Verse 7 revealed evidence of a one-world government. So, you know, you saw it that he'll make war with the saints. He's given power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. That's a one-world government. You see it in verse 7? Verse 8 is the establishment of a world religious system. They're worshiping that beast. So that's the reason Christians have always been adamantly opposed to any form of ecumenism that joins Christianity with a form of paganism or anti-scriptural worship, all in the name of unity. The saints, the elect, the brethren are killed, which is the souls that are under the altar in Revelation 6:11. Now remember, we're in chapter 13, but you're going through the 7 years, you're going through three times. So even though we're in Revelation 13, and I just took you back to Revelation 6, I want you to understand that's because we're going through several times through that whole period. Don't get confused. Say, well, how can the souls be under there if they're just talking about them now? And Revelation 6 is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week where the seals are open. So just understand, you're going through that thing several times. All right, and then they worship him. The first beast is the Antichrist because the second beast, the false prophet, comes to establish the name of the first beast. You'll see that in verse 16 and 17. So let me show you the second beast. He's going to be coming up in verse 11. So he is the false prophet. The first beast that we've already been looking at is the Antichrist. And he comes to establish the name of the first beast in verse 16 and 17. Who comes in his name as prophesied of the Antichrist. John 5:43, let me read it to you. I am come in my Father's name, Jesus is speaking, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He's going to come in his own name, and they're going to receive him. Jesus Christ came in the name of the Father. You say, well, he's called Jesus Christ. But he came in the name of the Father. When he talked about his Father. I am the Son of God. My Father and your Father, he would talk about. The second beast comes to establish the name of the first beast. So the false prophet, second beast, establishes the name of the first beast, the Antichrist. Revelation 16:13 and 19:20 define the satanic trinity as the dragon. He was the red one cast out of heaven in Revelation 12. The first beast, which is called the beast, and the false prophet. I'll tell you what, look at Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So you see the Trinity there? Again, remember, everything is imitation. God is Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. What do you have here? The dragon, the beast, the false prophet. Look at another verse. Look at chapter 19. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive in the lake burning with brimstone. So it talks about the beast and the false prophet there. All right, so go on back where we were. Now, this is something that's, again, there's a lot of things that I teach you might not find in other places, because I believe God gave it to me, and I'm very cautious when I teach something that I don't, you know, that I run it through some people. And there are other guys that do teach us, I just didn't know, that are names. Who's going to worship the beast? Those that have their names that are not written in the book of life. So how's that work? All believers during the church age are raptured before any part of Daniel's 70th week. Every church age believer has his name written in the book of life. Those who died during the church age without Christ have their name blotted out at death. So now watch this. I believe the Bible teaches that everybody's name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. God knows who's going to be born. Their names are written in the book of life. And I know you have the songs, there's another name written in heaven, blah, blah, blah. But that, it just, it's not doctrinal. It may sound good. You may listen to it and enjoy it. You reprobate? Just kidding. Just kidding. It's not, so what? I mean, I'm not going to, if they came in here and I didn't know who they were, which I wouldn't know who a lot of singers are, and they sang that song, I would not jump up afterwards and go, wait a minute, let me just get this doctrine straight for you. I would just look at it, and later on the next week, I'd say, hey, remember that what they sang, that song, if you all didn't know, and I would go ahead and explain it. But now let's go to Daniel's 70th week, where we are in the book of Revelation. Those who take the mark and worship the beast, by the way, it's both things. Take the mark, worship the beast, have their names immediately blotted out of the book of life. Immediately they're blotted out of the book of life. They've rejected the truth rather than receiving it to be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. So that's what's different. Do you know that nobody has their name blotted out while their heart's still beating today? Because you always have the opportunity to accept Christ until you die. And at death, your name's blotted out. And that's why everything's about the book of life. So here, who's going to worship the beast? Those that don't have their names written in the book of life. What have they done to have that happen? Taken the mark of the beast and worshiped him. And that's as clear as I can make it. It's clear as day to me, but I never know because there's a lot of false teaching out there. So somebody has their name written in the book of life. They've trusted Christ. They're saved by the blood. And now all those that had their name blotted out, their name's blotted out because they worship the beast. Why they worship the beast? Because they're deceived, and therefore God protects all those whose names are written in the book of life from deception. Eternal security. And that's, to me, that was just so eye-opening. You remember, I used to teach that there was works plus faith in the future, works and faith in the past. And therefore, works and faith, you know, well, how do you get saved during Daniel's 70th week in the tribulation? How do you get saved? Well, you just got to withstand and withhold and endure to the end, not take the mark. And it's all you. That's really what that teaching is. What is it? It's God. It's God that does it. So if it's God that protects a person from deception, if it be possible, it would deceive the very elect. It's not possible. Who's the elect? Those that have trusted Christ, the saved. So that's how it works. And I know I've taught you that. I know we've gone over it. But I just want to make sure that whenever given the opportunity, I glorify God in that arena, because there's so many people. And I want you to have it so ingrained that you don't ever get caught up in what I got caught up in. And that is thinking it's faith plus works at any point in time. Go to chapter 13, verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now, if you'll remember in chapter 2 and chapter 3, talking about the seven churches, 2:7, he says, if any man, the phrase unto the churches. Well, let me look at it. Go, here I have it in chapter 3, verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every time in chapter 2:7, 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:13, and 3:22, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here he says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Why? What's missing? Unto the churches. Why is it missing? Because the church isn't here. And that is, to me, it's like, wow, that's been in there the whole time. You know, when you see that, when you're taught like I was taught, and when you're teaching like I taught, and then you look at it and you go, boy, that's a simple proof text. Simplicity. And that's what God does. God says, listen, if you want to go to the Bible, and I show you you're wrong, and you want to make the Bible say what you have been taught, or what you want to, you don't want to ever say, oh, I was wrong. You don't ever want to get up there and go, well, I've written books and put it in writing and I was wrong. You don't ever want to do that. Well, then I'll tell you what I'll do. I won't give you this proof text right here to show how easy it is to prove that what you were teaching, what others are teaching is wrong. And why is it so important? Here, maybe I'll give this to you here because I've said it before probably, but I need to repeat it here. What I'm teaching now is going to outlast me. Part of what I'm looking at is I want to be preaching on a forum that is here after the rapture that people that are looking to get saved might come across and they go, wait a minute, it's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. It's a gift in the future, just like it's a gift today. And I want people to see that and say, wow, that's what you do to get saved. I thought I had to work, work, work. You realize that if a person believes today, if you talk to them, you say, well, how do you get to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. They'll break hell wide open. What about after the rapture? Well, I'm a good person. They'll break hell wide open. But there's a teaching out there that teaches that. Well, I believe it's faith plus works today. You'll break hell wide open. Well, I believe it's faith and works in the future. You'll break hell wide open. So what do I want to do? I want to have preaching out there that somebody can get on the internet, get on YouTube, get on whatever, you know, sermon audio, our website. I don't know who's going to run it after we've left. Do we have any volunteers? I won't even get smart alecky since we got a new face working it a little bit. I'm not going to get smart alecky. It meant, in other words, it would have been, not true. That's how it's a smart aleck comment. So I want people to be able to go there and go, hey, you get saved not by works at any point in time from Genesis through Revelation. He that killeth must be killed, he goes on. Armed resistance offers little hope of escaping the beast's power. The opposition to him will be found and will be crushed. And you can go to Jeremiah 15. It talks about, later on in this also, it talks about the patience and the faith of the saints in that verse. In verse 10. The context speaks of the saints' death as the Antichrist seeks to destroy them during Daniel's 70th week. The verse instructs the saints that a policy of passivity is in order. Aren't you being taught, well, get your guns? Maybe that's before the rapture. After the rapture, it changes. All nationalism and self-preservation are fruitless. Passive martyrdom by the saints is a mark of patience and faith in the future. Revelation attributes this patience and faith to those who refuse the mark of the beast without hope of resistance. And in Revelation 14, we'll look at that. They die in the faith and die for the faith. And that's what's important to understand. And then in Revelation 13, 11, we'll go ahead and go there and stop. And I beheld another beast. This is the other beast up on the screen. Coming up out of the earth. Where'd the first beast come up out of? The sea. And you know, that's why I like to put it in picture, because you're like, well, boy, I remember him. He came out of the sea. First beast comes out of the sea. Second beast comes out of the earth. Coming up out of the earth, he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. So the first beast comes out of the sea, while this one comes out of the earth. The beast is called the false prophet. And you'll also see that in Revelation 20:10. I showed you in Revelation 16, 13, and 19, 20. Look at Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Eternity torment. Who's going there? The devil. And who's already there at this point in time? The beast and the false prophet. Who's the false prophet? He's on the board behind me. Throughout the Bible, there's been an ongoing war between the prophets of God and the satanic prophets. Moses versus Jannes and Jambres, remember? Threw down the rod, they threw down their rod, turned it into a serpent. Jeremiah versus Hananiah, Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal, Israel versus Balaam, Jesus versus the Pharisees. In Revelation, God's prophets are the two witnesses, while the false prophet serves as the devil's representative. The first beast represents a political kingdom. Symbolically, this beast represents a religious kingdom. This one behind me. And they may take on personages. Don't think, well, the false prophet is going to look like that. Who would worship him? Or who would follow him? Because he may change into a human. The devil became Judas Iscariot. Okay? Thou art a devil. So just realize that this is the way he comes up out of the earth, but he can transform. He's a trans. Had to throw that one in there. Physically, this beast is undeniably a man. He calls down fire from heaven, performs miracles. If this beast is a man, the first beast, the Antichrist, is also a man. And of course, he is referred to as a man in Revelation chapter or verse 18. So go back to chapter 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 603 score and 6. So you see how it takes that beast and it relates him to a man. And then he spake as a dragon. The dragon is Satan, and the false prophet is his mouthpiece. So there you go. We're moving right along. I told you I had all the illustrations done. I'll rework all of them, I'm sure. But I have. You ought to see the three frogs. So when I was up in Columbus a couple of weeks ago, I did all that, and I said, "This is the three frogs." And then I, you know, they're not scary looking. And I did another one right after it, and it was like, and no, I said, "All right, this is how the world looks at them." And I put three beers out there like Budweiser. As this is how the world looks at them. And then I did a third picture. And in the third picture, you know, their claws are up. And they're looking pretty snarly. I said, that's what you really have. So, you know, the world's being set up. When you think about it, why would Budweiser pick three frogs? It's biblical whether you know it or not. It's biblical. And what they're doing, so I'm talking about three frogs, and if, you know, years ago when it was real popular, as soon as you start talking about the three frogs, if you have kids in the service, they go, ha, the Budweiser frogs. That's where their mind goes. Your mind too, maybe. But the point is, it's all counterfeit. It's all a setup. So you start talking about three frogs and everybody just goes, well, that's a joke. You're talking about the Bible. You're talking about reality. You're talking about the Trinity, the unholy Trinity of the future will spew out three frogs. And the world's being set up and saying, oh, that's the Budweiser. Maybe that's why Bud Light had what they had. Because God said, oh, you're going to mess with my Bible and my truth? And you're going to make it into a joke? Pew! He let them have it. So anyway, let's all stand together. Lord, you thank you for many blessings. We thank you for dying on that cross. Lord, we just pray you'd have your will and your way in the services that we have left in the business meeting. And Lord, we just pray that you would always guide us, we would always follow, and we have so many prayer requests that are needed. We pray for Debbie as she's getting home. Pray for Lord Donna and the surgery coming up on Monday, and so many others that are in need of thy healing hand. We thank you for Merle's prognosis. We just pray and believe by faith that regardless of whether he had it or didn't have it, you still took care of him. Thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed. Thank you.